And turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this message this morning that you've given to me, and I pray, Father, that I would not get in the way of it, that I would just deliver it. I pray, Father, for the very words to be put in my mouth to share this morning. I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified, that I would not take away from what you have for us today, but that I would just deliver it just like you've given it to me. And I pray, Father, that through this, that the word would go out and it would touch hearts and change lives for the better. As your word tells us, your word will not return unto you void, but it will go out and accomplish that, what it's been sent to do. And I pray, Father, now that our focus and our attention would be on you and you alone. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as I mentioned, we're going to start this series of messages on Hebrews chapter 12. And God gave this to me, and I thought, you know, this is a good thing. We need this, right? As we look around and we see what's going on in the world, we need to know what faith is. We need to be stronger in our faith, right? How many times did Jesus say to his disciples, "Ye of little faith"? I wonder how many times Jesus sits up there in heaven looking down and saying, "Ye of little faith." Our focus and our attention gets on the things of this world, and we get them off of what's really important. And what's really important is the Word of God and seeing that others, too, could have that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ that those of us who have are enjoying. So we believe that probably Paul wrote this. There's nothing that says for sure, but I have a few reasons why I believe it, and I'm going to share those, because I believe that part of it is what Peter said to the Hebrews about Paul in 2 Peter. If you'll just turn over there real quick, keep your place in Hebrews, but look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 15, as Peter was saying this to the Hebrews, "An account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." There's no other place that I know of that he wrote an epistle to the Hebrews. So we believe Peter is talking about this epistle, the epistle of Hebrews. That Paul wrote this epistle to the Hebrews. Let us keep in mind that the epistles of James, Peter, and Hebrews were written primarily to Hebrew people. But all of this is written to them, but it's not that we can't also glean from this stuff that we can use in our lives, right? And we need as well. So, also goes on, and we know that the writer of Hebrews knew Timothy. And apparently Timothy was well known to the Hebrew people also, and also the author of Hebrews. And so Hebrews 13:23, quickly we can look there and say that Hebrews 13:23, "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you." Seems that Paul is saying that Timothy was in prison, and apparently he is set at liberty now, and so that when he, if he gets there in time, then he will bring him with him when he comes to visit with them. And then in the close of chapter 10 of Hebrews, we see where Paul begins to put the spotlight on faith. And we can see that in verses 38 through 39, where it says, Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The word faith is found 24 times in this chapter. Obviously, it's something that we need to understand and get a grasp of, right? 24 times, and it carries the meaning of believing and trusting in God. Believing and trusting in God. What we all need to do, and believing whatever he said is true, no matter what the critics say, no matter what anybody else says out there, we need to just believe that it's true. The Word of God is true. Whether we believe it or not, it's still true. Faith is confidence that things yet future and unseen will happen just as God said it will. God has laid it out, and over and over and over, you can go through Scripture and you can see where God has said things and they came to pass. So why do so many people believe that things that God said that haven't happened yet aren't going to? When over and over, God, I have to tell you, God has what we call the perfect track record, right? He hasn't been wrong, so why will he be now? It doesn't make sense, right? It doesn't make sense when people believe these things, and there's some other things we're going to get into that people believe, and I'm going to show you why I believe differently, but faith is a human response to God's faithfulness to his promises. God's promised it, he's followed through over and over and over. And he's given us some promises. There's some yet to be fulfilled yet. But praise God, they will be. Praise God, they will be. We trust his trustworthiness, not our own. We fail, don't we? We fail over and over and over. God never fails. He's always trustworthy, always. God's character is the key to our faith. Our faith. Here in chapter 11 of Hebrews, Paul is urging the Hebrew believers not to fall back into Judaism. Don't go back to your old way of religion, right? By the way, I've said it many times, and it's worth repeating again. Religion never saved anyone. It doesn't. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had religion, right? Jesus called them hypocrites. Yeah. He got after them. We're not to go back to the old religion. We're to go and continue on in the Christian faith. That's what's supposed to take place. Once you get saved, continue on in the Christian faith. Don't go back to the old ways. How many times do you see people do that, though? They step out in faith. They trust Jesus Christ for salvation, and they're going along strong, and then one day they just go back to the old ways. What happened? Where's their faith? Where's their faith? Chapter 11, from verse 2 through 40, Paul points out the unshakable faith of their ancestors in their times of troubles and trials. He wanted to show them that there is power in faith. There's power in faith to keep the mind and heart in the midst of turmoil. Folks, are we going to have trials and testing and tribulation and all that? Well, I have to tell you, the Bible tells us we're going to. So anybody who believes it's not going to happen is because they haven't read the Word of God. And they don't believe the Word of God. Because God said we're going to have that. But we can still have faith during those times. We don't have to give up our faith just because we're going through a trial or a test. Turmoil comes, we can still have faith. How many times did we see faith lacking over the last several years. Over and over and over, faith was lacking. Because what? Turmoil came, right? Things got turned upside down. There's no need for it, but it happened, and people's faith waned. Faith should have got stronger, but it didn't. We're going to read these faithful individuals in chapter 11, see their behavior in their times of trials and troubles, and we'll notice that God was well pleased. Well pleased. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We are told four times in the Bible that the just shall live by faith. We see it in Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. The phrase, "the just shall live by faith," reveals the only way that anyone can rightly relate to and please God is by faith. By faith. It's always easier to walk by sight, isn't it? Always easier to walk by sight. But that's not what God called us to do. He said, we need to walk by faith. We need to trust Him. We need to believe in who He is and believe in His Word. Hebrews 11, verse 1a from our text says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for." When you look at this word substance, notice sub. Sub is below. It is underneath. It's the subfloor, which you all came in today, by the way, and walked on the subfloor, which is underneath the carpet, which is underneath whatever is underneath the carpet, right? But there's a subfloor here. And then if you know anything about building and construction and all, the subfloor goes on, and then they start building everything up off of that. The subfloor is what is holding all this up. It's what's supporting all of this. So if you look at this, faith is the substance of our belief in God. Faith is what supports our trusting in God. It's like our subfloor. It's the substance of our faith in God. So our believing and trusting in God is the substance of our faith. And God wants our faith to rest upon His Word. Thank God for the Word of God. Justification is the result of the believer's faith in the grace of God and in His provision for salvation. God has provided for salvation, not man. We can trust God. We can trust Him for His salvation. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, please. Romans 3:28, it says, "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." It means without any kind of works. No works at all. Too many people are over and over and over saying, "But you got to work for it. You got to work for it. You got to work for it." No, you don't. How much work would you have to do? We don't have an answer to that question because there are no works that can get you there. So therefore, it's not by works. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Not seen. Just as our physical eyesight is the sense that gives us evidence of things that are material in this world, our Faith is the sense, so to speak, that gives us evidence of the invisible spiritual world. Hebrews 11:2 goes on and says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." The Jewish Christians here that Paul was talking to or addressing were discouraged. Anybody been discouraged? It's easy to do, right? All you have to do is look around at what's going on in the world. You could get very discouraged very easily. That's why I say keep your eyes riveted on the Savior, right? Because this stuff is very discouraging. But we can get very discouraged. And they were thinking of giving up on Jesus and Christianity. Can you imagine saying, you know what? This worked to this point. But now it's not working anymore. What happened? Did Jesus change? No. Did the Word of God change? No. What changed? Their faith. Or lack thereof. Right? They needed a good testimony. They needed to be reminded of the examples of the faith that went on before them. They needed to look at the ancestors and break them out of this discouragement, right? We have the Word of God. We can go back and through the Bible we can say, wow, look at what they went through and still persevered. What I'm going through isn't quite so bad, is it? I can still persevere. Not because of me, but because of Jesus and my faith in Him. The many different people in the chapter all had different circumstances and different personalities, but they all had one thing in common. They all had faith. They all had faith. Keep in mind, Paul, or the author, I still can't 100% say it was Paul, I believe it was writing this to the discouraged Jewish believers, and it will also be beneficial to us as well. The first part of verse 3 of our text, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God is the framer of time and space. It's not a question of how God did it, but the fact that God did do it. God did it. Paul did not say that God created the universe out of nothing. Let's not read into this verse something that's not there. He said that the universe did not originate from other material or anything observable. Isn't it interesting? Ever try to build a house out of something that doesn't exist? Not going to work, is it? We get so excited when we build something, right? Look at what I did. Well, where did you get all your stuff to build it? Did not God provide those things? I had news for you. The wood benches you're sitting on there, those pews, God grew those trees that those were cut from, so you could have a place to sit. This building, we tore out the basement from the flood. Some of the timbers that were used down there were humongous. I said, makes you feel pretty good about standing up here and not being concerned about falling through the basement, right? It was built solid. It's amazing. People say, yeah, but they build things solid today. They don't last near as long today as they used to. Just not building them the same. But I'm telling you, God created all of this. God did all of this. And He spoke these things into existence. Genesis. Stay in Hebrews because we're coming back. But look at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. This indicates that God created the universe, something visible by His Word, by something invisible. Invisible to us, not to Him. See, we don't get this. We think that all that exists is only what we can see, right? No. Not necessarily the case. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith, we believe that. Things that we can see were made from things that cannot be seen. It says, through faith. Through faith. Belief that the visible word in the universe, world and the universe and the ages are created by God is a conviction of faith, not sight. Anybody here when God created all this? So you didn't see it created, right? In fact, if you go through the Genesis account, which we spent a lot of time on that when it's been over 10 years, well, started over 10 years ago. But as we went through that, we saw that God did all of that. And guess what? When he made all of this stuff, created it out of nothing that we know of, He just spoke it into existence, right? There wasn't any human beings here until He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And then breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Until that point, nobody was here to see what God did. And yet people want to tell you how it happened. It's interesting to me. In the beginning, which no man can put a date to because we don't know. Right? Anybody going to stand up and say, well, if God spoke it into existence on this day back in history? No. You can't do it. There's nowhere that tells us exactly what day it took place. So we don't know. There's many different theories which men hold to in an attempt to explain the origin of the universe. But I'm going to tell you, they are just theories. They are just theories. Only a guess. There's nothing scientific to it. It's a guess. It cannot be proven. In fact, your theory would be just as good as anybody else's guess, right? Kind of the way it works. We as believers have faith that God created it all things. But no one has a logical answer as to how, in our way of thinking and our way of understanding. He just spoke it into existence. Well, how'd that happen? I like it when you get conversations with people that have to know the answers to everything, right? Well, how? I don't know. I just believe that God did it. Well, how did He do it? Said He spoke it. Well, how did He speak it? We can do this conversation forever if you'd like, but the answer is always going to be, I'm going to believe it by faith. I'm going to trust God. And sooner or later you think, they got to get tired of questions, but they don't. They need to know exactly how everything took place. Sometimes we have to walk by faith. We have to just believe. Turn over to Isaiah 55, please. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. This will give us the answer that we need for that, right? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I like it when people say, well, that's what God's word says written down, but this is what he really meant. But if his thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and his ways are higher than your ways, how do you know exactly what he thought? I'm just going to go with what he said. Just easier, right? And God created his creation for his own glory. Yeah. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. I know this is a lot of workout for you guys, getting back and forth in the scriptures, but it's good to know these things straight from the Word of God. Revelation 4:11, it says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So afterwards, I don't want people to come up and say, well, that's your opinion. I just gave you scripture that backs it up. It's not my opinion. It's what God's word says. For him, all things were created. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Doesn't matter what they are. They're for him. There are countless Bible believers, good, sincere Christians that believe there was a gap between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 1. I was asked years ago, Brother Anker was still here, he said, do you believe in the gap theory? I said, absolutely not. The conversation didn't go much further from there. I think we're on the same page. I don't believe he believes differently. They believe that at the fall of Satan, that this chaos occurred between verse 1 and verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. They believe that this happened because they're trying to explain something that by faith they should just accept. So according to the gap theory, perhaps thousands or millions of years later, God finished his creation after the gap. Really? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to agree with me, but I don't believe in this gap theory at all. It would be saying that God could be stopped at what he had started out to do. Doesn't make any sense to me. So this gap theory is only a literary one, in which verse 1 is the title of the account and verse 2 through 31 is the content of what took place. They said, well, there had to be a break. No, there didn't have to be. And I'm going to tell you why I believe what I believe. And it comes down to, are we going to believe the Bible or are we not? Are we going to believe God's word or are we not? So this is what the Bible says. Turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. Exodus 20 and verse 11. It says, For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Seems pretty clear that that should remove all doubt on this gap between verses 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 1. Everything had to happen within 6 days. Everything. It includes the creation of the whole universe and everything that is in it. If this verse is not true, then how can we believe the other verses? Good question, right? Because by faith we believe the entire Bible is true. And by faith we have to believe that what God said is exactly what happened. The gap theory states that God created a fully functional earth with all animals, including the dinosaurs and other creatures we know only from the fossil record. Then, as the theory goes, something happened to destroy the earth completely. Some speculate it's the fall of Satan to earth, so that the earth became without form and void. Their theory at this point is God started all over again, recreating the earth and its paradise from the further described, as further described in Genesis. But that's not what the Word of God says. And I believe that if the gap theory had happened, God would have explained that to us. I don't think He would have kept us out there just to speculate in ignorance about something so important. If the fossil record is to be explained by the millions of years in the so-called gap, that means death, disease, and suffering happened many ages before Adam fell. Oh, but let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. See, I like the Bible because it can explain away all of their foolishness. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It's Adam's sin that caused death, disease, and suffering to all life. So Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Those that believe in this gap theory have to reconcile the theories of modern scientists who hold to the old earth theory, that is, the belief that the earth is billions of years old. Billions of years old. As I mentioned before, my 10-year-old granddaughter knows that that's not true. 10 years old and knows that's not true. Scientists ought to get a clue. Maybe they should read the Word of God. The fossils that are discovered in various places have no record of ever being a seabed, and the way of explaining that is very simple. The flood in Noah's time answers it very well. Again, you have to believe the Word of God and not set out to try and disprove God, which you can't do anyway. Before Adam and Eve sinned, everything was perfect. Can you imagine living in a perfect world? No storms. It had not even rained yet. Can you imagine? Can you imagine everything nice and green and beautiful and lush and no rain? I'm talking a perfect world, folks. We don't know what that is. We've never lived in a perfect world. We can't even imagine what a perfect world would be like. We think total peace, right? If we had total peace, we'd still not be happy. Can you imagine no earthquakes, no tsunamis, no volcanoes ever? What an idea, right? God's creation was without blemish. But because of the fall of man, in Romans chapter 8, we read, Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. It says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. God created all of this beauty, the mountains and everything, in 6 days. In 6 days. Genesis chapter 7. We're almost done here. Genesis chapter 7. Verses 19 through 20. It says, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. Amos, for sake of time, we'll get through a few of these quickly. Amos 4:13, For lo, he that formeth the mountains and created the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought and maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Do we believe what God's word says, or do we want to believe man's theory? If we're going to believe God's word, we got to do it by faith. By faith. I could go on and on. There's several different. There's a couple in Psalms. There's one in Isaiah that we could see all of this stuff that says how God did what God did. But it all boils down to we as believers have to believe by faith what God said, and that His creation was created in 6 days. And we believe that because His word said it was. We do not know how He did it, but by faith we believe He did do it. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to start going through the individuals in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And we'll see in more detail what they did and how they survived by faith. By faith. Not wavering in their faith, but believing by faith what God did. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That we have these same accounts that we can see, the same ones that Paul was using, if he is in fact the writer of Hebrews. If in fact that's the case, then we have the same exact ones that he used to get the Hebrews from being discouraged in their faith to keep us from being discouraged in our faith. Can't wait to go through week after week of seeing all these different heroes of the faith. Were these men perfect and women perfect? No. Anybody here perfect? If a hand goes up, I need to talk to you afterwards, right? But they were heroes of the faith. They kept the faith. Let's keep the faith. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this message. What is faith? Faith is believing in you and your word. Trusting that whatever you say is truth. Not questioning what you say, but believing. Believing. So we thank you. Father, this morning, again, as always, if there's someone in our midst that has never accepted salvation in Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, today would be the day. Father, for those of us who have, is Jesus looking down saying, ye of little faith? Or is he pleased? In fact, the Bible says when he returns, will there be faith on the earth? I believe there will be. I believe there will always be those who believe by faith. So I pray, Father, during the time of invitation, if somebody needs to come and get saved, or somebody needs to come and dedicate their life to you, or somebody needs to just come and spend some time at the altar, they do that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.